Pope Benedict XVI accepted the resignation of the Archbishop of Manila, Cardinal Gaudencio Rosales, today for reasons of age. The Holy Father has also named Bishop Luis Antonio Tagle to succeed Cardinal Rosales. The 54-year-old Archbishop-elect Tagle currently serves as the Bishop of Imus. He was here in Rome in December 2010 for his ad limina visit. At that time, he spoke with Linda Bordoni. We bring you now that interview.
Now, what happens during an ad limina visit? Obviously, you meet with the Pope, and what else takes place?
And another important feature of the ad limina visit is this is some sort of a pilgrimage of the bishops to the tombs of Peter and Paul, and also to the two major basilicas, St. Mary Major and St. John Lateran. So it's a pastoral, spiritual renewal for the bishops. We also go to the different congregations or dicasteries of the Roman Curia, where we listen to their reading of our reports, and we also raise some of our concerns. And so it's meant to be a mutual learning, you know, so that the central governance of the church could hear the bishops spread all over the world, and we could also present to them our concerns. And many times we get confirmed in our approaches. And that's the role of Peter, to confirm the faith of his brothers.
Would you say you've felt confirmed this time around as well?
Yeah, especially when you read the discourse of the Holy Father. It shows that he has studied our situation and he has confirmed the involvement of the bishops in transforming Philippine society through the truth of the gospel.
I read the discourse and I noticed he touched on, let's say, three main topics, yes. Which are the protection of life, the importance of media and communications, and the apostolate towards the poor, right? Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about each of these?
First, protection of life. Generally, the people of the Philippines still cling or hold on to this very Christian vision of the human person, human life from conception, you know, and the respect for marriage, etc. But these past decades, we have been bombarded also by some influence, and people are being tested in their fidelity to this Christian vision. And so the church has tirelessly presented to the faithful the biblical understanding of the human person and marriage and life. During the past 10 years or so, there have been efforts among the legislators in the Philippines to pass what they call a reproductive health bill. And we, as an Episcopal conference, we have been studying the different versions, and we are worried about some of the provisions there, if not worried about the whole tenor and the direction of the various versions of the bills. And so we have been in dialogue with the legislators. We have been in dialogue with the president and his advisors so that we could share the Christian vision. And we want to be able to contribute the wisdom of this vision. Otherwise, they might be rushing to pass some provisions which in the long run might prove fatal to society. So we share, you know, and we hope that it would get a fair hearing, you know, from people.
The next issue he touched on was, as we were saying, in communications, and he spoke about media, old and new.
Yes. I guess that's part of the world right now. Even in the small villages in the Philippines, you have people with mobile phones and access to cable TV, etc. So we have been trying to follow the words of John Paul II when he said that the whole world of social communications is the new Areopagus. We can use these means to express the good news, to proclaim the good news, and to promote the values of the church that could serve as leaven for the development of peoples. And so there is this awakening on the part of the church in the Philippines to make full use of the media for evangelization. We also have an office within the Episcopal Conference, a commission on media. Mm-hmm. But we have a long way to go. No, and we have a long way to go. Now, on a personal note, I have a regular Sunday TV program.
Oh, goodness.
A national TV.
You're a TV star.
Oh, no, not a star. has been going on. The first program that I was invited to do was some sort of a talk show. Mm-hmm. It's bringing the gospel closer to the concerns of people. It was produced by the Jesuits, Jesuit Communications, and aired on national TV. The title is Light Talk. So it's supposed to enlighten and it's supposed to be quite light. But then after 2 years, there was a change in management of the TV network. So they asked us to produce a new show, and it's called The Word Exposed. Mm-hmm. So I have half an hour to discuss or to explain the three readings for the Sunday liturgy. Mm-hmm. And the second half of the program, people can send in questions of faith, which I respond to.
Ask the bishop.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, it's been airing for more than 2 years now. And we're getting a lot of questions from the youth. Mm-hmm. So it's not true that young people are not interested in religious shows or religious-oriented shows. So there are other priests and bishops who have programs on the radio. So we're trying our best.
The third issue topic we were going to touch on is that of helping the poor.
The poor, yes. I have to make a private confession here that as a Catholic and especially as a bishop in the Philippines, this is really a cause of scandal. That in a country which claims to be the home of half of the Christian population in this vast continent of Asia, we also have this image, especially in the continent, of being a country where corruption thrives. Corruption, which is at the heart of so much suffering and the social evils, and the church is not blind to this. So we ask ourselves, how are we forming our Christians? How could it be that we baptize, we confirm so many people, and yet the quality of life manifests the lack of integrity? So this impels us all the more to listen to the poor, to have programs that will address them in the spirit of charity, Pope Benedict's Deus Caritas Est. But we cannot and we should not divorce or separate this charitable ministry of the Church from the advocacy for justice. For without justice there will be no peace. But we also are aware that having just structures does not solve everything. People still need love. Now, so there's a concern for the poor, where justice is at the basis of it all. For how can we give to someone what is due to that someone, not to that person? How could I expect someone to give of myself in charity if I cannot give to someone what is due to him or to her? So these two should always come together.